Blog Talk Radio.
Let that run a little bit. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tuesday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I am your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you're having a nice Tuesday and the return to the work or school week hasn't got you too frazzled. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my Steam listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you have to follow along via the Twitter machine, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, if you can't listen to us live, you can catch us out on iTunes. You can go to iTunes, search for All Subjects Everything on the podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there, rate us from 1 star to 5 star, write a little review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. Also, for your smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available for the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone or your tablet. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. Also, be sure to like our Facebook page. We made a we posted a picture on Facebook that we think, you know, we want you guys to see, and so let you know that people still are listening to the show. Facebook.com/ All Subjects Everything. And yeah, before I make this special announcement, I want to thank you guys for listening to us last month, actually last 2 months. We've had a pretty good, we've had a pretty good return to form here. I mean, I wonder how recording for 30 minutes every day was going to work, but so far the numbers and the feedback has kind of matched up. So I'm thankful for you guys for listening. I greatly appreciate your time. And while I have you this morning, before I get into the rest of the stuff I want to talk about, I need to make a special announcement. And this is regarding the state of cheering for a National Football League team. So on this day, the first day of December, mind you, December 1st, 2015, 10:04 a.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday morning, fuck the Cleveland Browns. I'm done. I'm retired. Ain't enough money in this game to keep me around. I'm finished. I can't do this anymore. Not after last night. Not after last night. This is not something that I can imagine, you know, dealing with for the rest of my absolute life. I can't do it. I can't do it. Especially after last night. You're tied at 27, go on to kick the winning field goal, it gets blocked, it gets returned for a touchdown as time expires. Nope. failure to draft Teddy Bridgewater over Johnny Manziel. Nope. 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 So whenever someone asks me about, you know, am I a Browns fan anymore from this day forward, just going to link them to the podcast because I'm not talking about it anymore. I'm finished. I'm finished. Judge me if you want to. And everybody's like, well, are you going to pick another team? Nah, not going to pick another team. Not going to pick another team because that would just be foolish. That would just look bad. You know, 34 years old, planning to root for another NFL team. I'm just a fan of football right now. Like, I'll just observe it from a, you know, an unbiased standpoint. So, no, I am no longer a Cleveland Browns fan. I refuse to do this to myself any longer. It's foolish of me to do so. So, yes, I have officially retired as a Cleveland Browns fan. That's pretty much all I'm going to say on the topic. Okay. Moving along to other points of interest in Week 12 in the National Football League that was just completed, the wild card situation in the NFC and AFC is just as bizarre as any of us predicted, which means that we didn't predict it. Okay, pulling up the numbers now. I didn't have a chance to pull up the numbers because I had to, you know, clean my nose because it's cold season. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice or not, but it feels like I'm coming down with something. Please, God, let me be wrong. That's all I ask is, God, let me be wrong, because I'm not in the mood to be sick, especially when I still have, you know, work to accomplish. But anyway, okay, that little reasoning for my voice gave me enough time to pull up the playoff standings here in the National Football League. And as it stands right now, there are five, six and five teams, in the AFC, you know, competing for two spots, or three spots, rather. You know, 5 and 6, Raiders and Bills not far behind. And in the NFC, it's 6 and 5, Seattle, with holding on to the last spot. Green Bay at 7 and 4, only God knows what's going to happen with Green Bay from this point forward. Then you have Falcons, Buccaneers, Giants, Bears, all in the hunt, which is absolutely funny considering either one team or both teams, you know, either both winners of or one winner of the NFC East or the AFC South could finish at 500 or worse. So there's going to be a team out there that's 9 and 7 or 10 and 6 that's going to be sitting home angry as hell because an 8 and 8 division winner took precedence over them. Like, I can see Steelers fans being absolutely peeved, or Jets fans even being, you know, 38 hot that the Colts at 8 and 8, or the Texans at 9 and 7 or 8 and 8, or even down to Tampa Bay, who's had a resurgence under runaway rookie of the year Jameis Winston. They finish 9 and 7 and they end up missing the playoffs, and the Redskins get in at 8 and 8 because they're the best team in their division. Not calling for change or anything, but I'm just saying it's quite interesting. When you look at Green Bay's schedule, just to kind of, you know, see where they're heading, they have, you know, a decent schedule to close out, I think. The next three, they have to win, absolutely. They've got the Lions on Thursday. They host Dallas on Sunday, December 13th. They're at Oakland on the 20th. Weekend of Thanksgiving, that's when it gets a little tougher. Weekend of Christmas. When it gets a little harder, they have the card. They're at Arizona, and then they host Minnesota, which probably is going to be like the NFC North Division Championship game. And I think whoever wins that game will probably end up winning the division, and the loser still has a chance to be one of the wild cards. But I promise you, Seattle's running the table. Seattle's running the table. They don't have anything standing in their way now. And that win against Pittsburgh yesterday, you know, Ben Roethlisberger getting hurt pretty much saved their season, like it or not. I mean, no one don't like to see anybody get hurt, but there's no reason to believe that they can't beat Minnesota. They should beat Baltimore. They're definitely going to beat my former team, the Cleveland Browns. They'll probably beat St. Louis. Arizona, that could possibly set up to be an NFC West Division Championship game. So there's no real guarantee that the Cardinals have this division, will have this division wrapped up by New Year's weekend. But 10-6 looks like an absolute giveaway, done deal for Seattle. But 11-5 is definitely not out of the realm of possibility. Definitely not out of the realm of possibility. So that's pretty much my prediction. I don't see the Falcons, you know, getting it back. They started off 6-0 and then have lost their last five, mainly in dreadful fashion. Tampa's a really good team, but, you know, I mean, Tampa's improved, but they still have some defenders to pick up and maybe a couple more, you know. No, actually, no. Their offense is pretty much just needs chemistry. Defense needs more players. The Giants and Bears, they're just going to be on the outside looking in. I don't see anybody else, you know, I don't see anybody at 4-7 running the table, especially not the Eagles because they have New England this weekend. So I think it pretty much comes down in the NFC to, you know, positioning. Like, is Minnesota going to be able to hold off Green Bay? And actually, they can still catch Arizona for the second seed in the NFC if they run the table, but that doesn't look likely considering their schedule. So it looks like the Cardinals are going to be safe at number two, but the Vikings should hold on for at least a playoff spot. But I think they'll get the division. Seattle should probably end up winning the that last wild card. And with that kind of team, I mean, I know the Seahawks pass defense isn't what it used to be. And I know Marshawn Lynch is injured and Russell Wilson is, you know, just lost Jimmy Graham for the season. But the Seahawks in a one-and-done situation where they're at their most dangerous and their most arrogant, you got to like their chances. You got to like their chances. But we still have a full, you know, 5 weeks before we could even start talking about, you know, playoff matchups because nothing's – I mean, there'll be divisions that are decided before then, but as far as, you know, the wild card and whatnot and positioning and, you know, playoff seeds and whatnot, that's still kind of a an outside thing. Still has a, you know, a lot to be decided in the NFC. AFC, just as tight. It's even tighter now. Because now the Patriots have lost and the Bengals and Broncos have won. Patriots only have a one-game lead in hand for the top seed in the AFC. But their schedule looks really, really friendly. I mean, they've got a discombobulated Eagles team this weekend, even without Gronk. They probably should win that one. They will – hold on. Sorry, my browser just decided to act dumb on me. Okay. All right. Their schedule is as follows. They host the Eagles on Sunday. That's a winnable game. At Houston on NBC, first flex game of the season by NFL scheduling. That should be a winnable game. They have the Titans. That's a win. At the Jets and at the Dolphins. So, I mean, New England should probably still finish 15-1, but the two teams they can't have, they absolutely can't afford to look past are the Texans and the Jets. Like, those are teams that I would really be nervous about. Truthfully, I'd be nervous about the Eagles if they had some balls, but they really haven't shown any as of yet. But as far as, you know, the NFC, the AFC wildcard situation, that is just too close to call right now. When you have five teams at 6-5, when you have the Colts who just barely have a head-to-head over the Texans, when you have the Chiefs who barely have a conference, you know, tiebreaker over the Texans, when you have the Texans who are literally hanging on by a thread against the Jets and Steelers, it's just too close to call. But these kind of races are good for the league because, you know, whoever wins out and earns their way in will have earned their way in. And then, you know, out of the five, you know, teams that, you know, are the most dangerous in the AFC, the teams that you could probably, you know, look at and say, oh, man, I don't like that matchup for so-and-so, they're in the wild card race, legitimately. Steelers, good offense when Ben is healthy. Pass defense a little suspect, but you're not going to run on the Steelers. You're not going to run on the Steelers. Jets, great defense. Offense is a little hard scrabble and scramble, you know, but they'll be a tough matchup for some people. The Texans, you know, they have, you know, J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, who's starting to actually play like a top pick, and their offense has kind of figured it out as well. So, they would be a rough matchup. The Chiefs, they should have a little bit of everything, but, I mean, I think losing Jamal Charles is really what's going to screw them over, you know, when he blew out his other ACL, you know, earlier in the season. the Colts are still a mystery. Like, sure, they won four in a row? Yeah, they won four in a row, but only time will tell, you know, what the future will hold for them. But it's gonna be close. It's gonna be very, very close. Moving on to basketball, or not so much basketball, but just teenaged tomfoolery coming from the Philadelphia 76ers top pick, Jahlil Okafor. If you are under a rock or you don't pay much attention to everything outside of the game of basketball, Mr. Okafor, the third pick in the 2015 NBA draft, who's actually been playing very well to start his NBA career, has been exposed as the flesh and bone of the NBA. If you're not a Bone Thugs and Harmony fan and you haven't watched their Unsung, Flesh and Bone was the one that got in all that damn trouble. Like, he was, you know, he got caught with guns. He went to jail for 8 years for threatening the neighbor and driving up on his property and all of that stuff. So in Jahlil Okafor's first month and a half in the NBA, follow me, he's used a fake ID to get in the club. He's 6'11", 275 pounds, top pick of the Philadelphia 76ers. Everybody knows him, and he's trying to get in the club with a fake ID. Number two, he knocked out a fan in Boston that he called and said, "That's why we got money, you B-A-N." And I'm sure everybody who's black understands what the acronym B-A-N means. And last but not least, apparently had a gun on pulled on him in the club in October. I don't know if this is the same club he was trying to get in with a fake ID or not, but I'm surmising that he was successful in that endeavor and got a gun put to his head and his face earlier in the season. This is why trust the process is a joke, ladies and gentlemen. As a Sixers fan, I don't abide by it. I want Sam Hinkie gone. We need somebody who's going to get this team, you know, in winning order in shorter fashion, because this is ridiculous. I mean, Okafor is a talented player, but he's every bit as immature as Joel Embiid, the guy who they just dumped to the side so that they could draft Jahlil Okafor. It doesn't look good right now. It's embarrassing. Very, very embarrassing. And now it's just been, I mean, the media is reporting today that they will have a bodyguard for this kid. Probably should have been part of the plan from Jump Street to have somebody a little closer to him. But no way are you telling me that you didn't think this through clear, you didn't think this through clearly enough, that you didn't, you know, do background checks on him and everything and figure out that maybe he's got a bit of an impulsive streak. Maybe he's got a little bit of, you know, teenage angst in him, because he doesn't turn 20 until the middle of this month, 2 weeks from today, in fact. You didn't think about it clearly enough, did you? I don't think you did. And Sixers fans are stuck holding the bag once again. Is the game the game? I don't think so. It doesn't stop us from, you know, talking about how foolish this is, or how, you know, ridiculously insane this is. Because it's embarrassing. It's flat out embarrassing. Want to get to something real important before we close the show out, and that is, we're back talking about R. Kelly. If you watched the Centric Soul Train Awards, it was actually very well done. Soul Train Awards was very well done. Got no problems with, you know, show quality or anything of that nature, but how long are we going to continue to let R. Kelly, you know, make a mockery of the fact that he is a molester? How long? I mean, granted, he hasn't done anything in recent years to, you know, exacerbate those accusations and those, you know, and those, you know, fears and whatnot. But still, This is a guy who literally, you know, has been reported on several times. And this isn't something that people are, you know, making up that are out to get him. He has settled several cases out of court. And, of course, non-disclosure agreements were probably part of that. So these girls are not going to be able to talk because the money talks for them. And we're just letting him skate. And it's disappointing because we discussed this before, but it just bears repeating that if R. Kelly's victims were not young black girls, he would have been under the jail. He would have been under the jail, flat out. So my question is, you know, what is it going to take for us to stop, you know, co-signing this guy? What is it going to take for us to understand that he is dangerous, that he is unhealthy, that he is somebody that you shouldn't want around anyone? Because that's pretty much what this boils down to. He's not somebody that you would want around your daughters, or any kid for that matter. And there's a very good piece on VerySmartBrothers.com by Damon Young, you know, that pretty much outlines the bottom line. I mean the headline speaks for itself. Yeah, if you're still an R. Kelly fan in 2015, you might just be a worse person than R. Kelly. And being worse than R. Kelly is saying a lot. That's saying a lot. Because R. Kelly is a horrible person. I mean, this is a guy who was busted on child pornography charges in 2002, and not even a year after the tape surfaced, he created this character called the Pied Piper. Now, do you folks remember the children's tale, the Pied Piper, right? This was a guy who played his flute, and kids followed him everywhere. Again, a man busted on child pornography and statutory rape charges created a character for himself in the R&B world, the Pied Piper, based on the Pied Piper of Hamelin, who played a flute, and kids followed him everywhere. And he sustained popularity through it all. Like, you know, he threw people off the trail with that Step in the Name of Love and that love letter and all of that foolishness. But now he's right back to making the same old filthy music that he was doing to get those girls' attention in the first place. And it's humiliating and embarrassing that black people still put it on the quote-unquote fast-ass girls or whatnot. Like, when are we going to start taking responsibility for the creepers and the molesters in our community? When are we going to stop putting the onus on black, on young black girls, and stop saying, well, stop being fresh and stop being fast and all that? 9 times out of 10, or 10 times out of 10, I would even venture to say, these girls aren't out here looking for, teenage girls aren't out here looking for 30, 40-year-old men to run up on them. They don't even like teenage boys running up on them most of the time. So let's be serious about this. R. Kelly is a dangerous person, an individual that you should not want anywhere near your kids, or you shouldn't be patronizing him, going to his concerts, listening to his music, because he is a danger to young black girls, and that's the group that needs more protecting than anybody else right now. And everybody that co-signs him and says, oh, well, he wasn't convicted, or, oh, those girls were out for the money, or, oh, those girls were fast, you are the problem. You're the bigger problem than R. Kelly. And the sooner y'all figure this out, the better off we'll all be. Because there's nothing to defend about a guy who is on video camera doing some of the things that he's doing to a girl not even old enough to buy a cigarette. Y'all know better. Y'all are smarter than this. At least I like to think you are. And I like for you to behave like it. Stop co-signing a guy who wouldn't spit on you if you were on fire just because you like his music, and overlooking the fact that he is a molester and a rapist and abusive. I want y'all to stop. I want y'all to be better. I want y'all to do better. I want y'all to act like y'all got some damn sense and stop, you know, letting R. Kelly be in these spaces. Stop letting R. Kelly show up at award shows like everything is cool. Stop letting R. Kelly, you know, make music, you know, highlighting his sexual deviances, you know, just spitting in the faces of, you know, young girls and people and young kids who have been molested and raped in general. Just stop co-signing the man. That's all we ask. Stop co-signing the man. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time. Tomorrow we will probably wrap up the Unsung 100 Marathon and talk about the top 10 Unsung episode being hosted by Donnie Simpson tonight, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you have a chance, watch it. We'll watch it together. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air. iTunes, All Subjects Everything, same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Don't forget the Facebook page, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. Enjoy your Tuesday, and until Wednesday morning, y'all be good or be good at it.
My mother, and of course, my candy girl.